God bless you today, beloved, in Jesus' beautiful and marvelous name. Amen. Man, I have some wonderful, wonderful manna for you today. Praise God. These are some of the most beautiful scriptures. The Bible said in the book of Acts that the people were walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I believe this is a key to really walking in the life of Jesus Christ. These two things together. And they're often very misunderstood because of false teaching. Adam does not fear God. As a matter of fact, everybody's heard Romans 3:10, 3:23. Everyone's heard those verses. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There are none that do good. Not even one. Nobody does good. But if you keep reading that, it says there is no fear of God before their eyes. And so what is wrong with the life of Adam? It's not righteous. It doesn't do good. Not a single one does good. And the life of Adam does not fear the Lord. It doesn't fear the Lord. This is why when we're walking in our own life, we want to change the Word of God. I've often heard in churches, a matter of fact, almost always, not often, almost always, I don't think I've hardly ever heard anybody actually talk about the fear of the Lord, except for, what was that guy that wrote the book? He's a really good minister, but I remember he wrote a book called The Fear of the Lord. It was really good. But and he talked about it. If you look up this word fear in the New Covenant, look at the Greek word. There's only one definition. The Greek word is phobos. It's phobos. And there's only one definition for the word. It's not like words that have many definitions and you can choose which one you want. It means terror. It means great fear that makes you quake and makes you tremble. When the Bible talks about walking in the fear of the Lord, it has nothing to do with reverence or respect. Well, I shouldn't say nothing. Of course we reverence, but I imagine you get what I mean by that. It's not reverence. It's not respect. There's a lot of people I reverence and I respect, but I don't quake. I don't tremble. I'm not terrified. And I know what people will say right away because we've been taught wrong. They'll say, you're not supposed to be terrified of God. But listen, the word here says we walk in the fear of the Lord, the terror of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'll get to the comfort of the Holy Ghost in a second, but I believe without these two things working together, most of us are going to lean to doing what our flesh wants to do. We're going to lean to walking in our natural man rather than putting it off. That's why Romans says, put to death the misdeeds of the body by the Spirit, not by the law, not by trying to be obedient, but by believing what he's accomplished, believing the truth. You turn to the life of Jesus and you put off that old man with his corrupt thinking and nonsense. And it says here they were walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, I think one of the most amazing things that God did for the first church was the situation with Ananias and Sapphira. Now, we don't talk about that much, and I've even heard preachers try to twist it because they're telling us we don't need to fear the Lord. What God did is he instilled a healthy terror, a healthy fear. Anybody could drop dead at any second. I mean, these guys were just lying, you know, and Peter said, you're lying to the Holy Ghost. And it was more than just lying. They were acting like they gave the full price that they had sold their own land. It was their land. They went and sold it because people in the church, as I mentioned many times, they didn't consider their possessions as their own. They were selling any extra stuff they had, bringing it and using it for the poor among them. And so nobody had lack and nobody had much. You know, they all had, you know, kind of an equality thing. I know Americans, we don't like to hear that. It sounds like socialism. But, you know, government socialism is forced. It's not out of love. It's not out of selflessness. The kingdom of God, everybody's selfless. But anyway, the great fear, it said, great fear seized the church. And we see here in Acts, they walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you go read the ministry of Jesus, if you just read through the Gospels, Jesus is constantly warning us of the coming wrath of God. Nobody even likes to say that word anymore. But I don't, I mean, hey, I'm terrified of it too, because I know it's coming against all unrighteousness. We should not comfort ourselves in our flesh. We should never comfort ourselves in our sin. We should never do that. We should never act like we're under grace when we're sinning, even though we have grace. And if we do that, we've been deceived with false doctrines. We need to have the genuine terror of the coming wrath of God that will be revealed against all, very important word, all unrighteousness, against all unrighteousness. And the Bible says that judgment begins in the house. Now, there's no longer a temple. We are the temple of God. We are the house of God. And all through the new covenant, you can see him telling us to cleanse ourselves in the fear of the Lord from all defilement, knowing of the coming judgment. This is in the new covenant. This is after Jesus came. So this is something that should be coupled together. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. Oh my goodness, thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is here to do what? To show us what belongs to us in Jesus. He's to reveal to us what we have through our death and burial and this new life of Christ that we walk in. He's constantly pointing us to the righteousness of God that is in Christ. He takes what belongs to Jesus and he makes it known to us. So listen, when we look at the coming judgment, we should have a trembling because it's going to hit us first as believers. It's going to hit us first. It should cause us to, if it doesn't cause us to tremble, we do not really understand it. And we're walking in our own life. And when we walk in our own life, we try to make excuses why we don't tremble. And so we change the word to make it say what we want it to. My God, have mercy on us in Jesus' name. And that's because, as Romans says, about man, about the life of man, there's none righteous. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Adam does not naturally fear God. He doesn't. I mean, he fears what he sees. He fears what he feels. He fears when something's happening right that second, he gets afraid. But then his fear dissipates and goes away very quickly. We've all experienced that, where everything's perfectly normal. Then suddenly something happens and you're absolutely terrified. And then after a couple hours, it's gone. Well, the fear of the Lord is not supposed to be something we have at one moment, like Ananias and Sapphira drop dead and we have fear for a couple hours and then we get over it. No, it's something we should continually carry with us. It's not anxiety. It's not stress. There's many other scriptures to combat and counteract such an idea. It's not inner anxiety. It's not sinful anxiety. It is a trembling, knowing of the coming judgment against all unrighteousness. And that's one of the reasons we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and comfort us. Part of what he comforts us about is the coming wrath of God. And the Holy Spirit says, hide. Hide in Jesus. As Colossians says, for you died with him and your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. So if we are walking in the Spirit, then we will be putting to death the misdeeds of the body. Not by the law, not by the commandment, oh my God, I better do good or I'm going to go to hell. Not that. But by the Spirit of life that is in Christ, we'll be believing what he accomplished, confessing what he accomplished, and laying hold of this life of Jesus Christ. It is the righteousness of God. We don't have to produce righteousness. We need to walk in the life of righteousness. But the fear of the Lord helps us and pushes us that direction, because we could easily just walk in the flesh. Now we won't have peace. You know, we'll have a constant anxiety inside. That's the world fear. That's the bad fear. In a way, I guess preachers are good at saying that that's not the kind of fear we need to have. But yes, we do need to have a trembling. We do need to have an absolute terror of the coming judgment. But we don't need to be walking in anxiety and depression. We don't need to be walking in all that inner turmoil and panic attacks and all that. God doesn't want that for us. That comes from walking in the natural man, walking in the flesh. But what God does want for us is for us to walk in the genuine phobos of the Lord. And every day now, there's not a time I that goes by that I can remember. Maybe there's a day, but almost every day I'm realizing as I meditate in the presence of God that people are not ready for Jesus and people do not know the real gospel. They don't know the Lord. And I'm also realizing how much compromise has crept into our lives. And it really does terrify me. I don't have any anxiety on the inside anymore. God allowed me to experience that for about a year because I didn't really have much of that in my life. But most of the people in the world have constant anxiety on the inside. Most of them are struggling with anxiety and depression. And that's common among man now. Panic attacks are common. It's very, very, very common. If you're going through that, you need to know it's not just you, it's almost everybody, but it is a sign, it is evidence that you're still walking in the flesh and the Lord is drawing you deeper into the life of Jesus. Because in the life of Jesus, there is no inner anxiety, but there is a healthy and a very vibrant fear, terror of the judgment that's coming on all unrighteousness. And when we begin to get this and combine the two, what does that fear do? It drives us to the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He comforts us. How does he comfort us? He shows us what belongs to Jesus. He makes it known to us. Oh, this is so wonderful. Because, friend, I don't want to put my hand in the fire anymore. I don't want to go back to any kind of sinfulness. I don't even like, and I shouldn't say this. I don't want anybody to be under condemnation. I should say it, but I don't want you to be under condemnation. I want you to follow Jesus and let him deliver you. But he showed me for years and years and years the television and all the stuff that comes across it, pretty much all of it. I know there's some decent Christian stuff there and some good preaching. And I even have a channel I watch that's nothing but worship. I mean, it has scriptures on it. And it's just creation, shows pictures of creation. And there's instrumental worship. But the scriptures are in Spanish. I don't know what they're saying, but it's good. I enjoy it. I pray with it. But any secular entertainment pollutes you on purpose. It's planned by Satan to normalize human life without God, and it pollutes you and it drags you out of the truth. It drags you out of reality. Even all the way back to, people make fun when I say this, all the way back to Little House on the Prairie, all the way back to Leave It to Beaver. If you watch that and you think about it, and I'm not saying if you watch Leave It to Beaver, you're going to hell. I know the flesh will get mad as soon as I say this, just like the Pharisees did with Jesus. They started being sarcastic because they didn't like the things he was saying. If you watch Leave It to Beaver, they never pray. There's no presence of God. There's no power. There's no repentance. There's no nothing. It's good old wholesome American family life, which doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a functional, good old wholesome American family. Everybody has sin, and because of that, everybody's families has problems. Everybody. Everybody. Some just cover it up better than others. In every house in this country and in the world, there is trouble, there is anxiety, there is sin, there is division, there is disagreement, there is strife, there is all kinds of things that happen in every house, and it's not Leave It to Beaver. And we need the power of God and repentance and the kingdom of heaven, and we don't see any of that watching these streaming the Netflixes and Hulu and Disney and all these other kind of things. I mean, sometimes it's fun to watch a superhero movie or something, but what the devil does is he pulls us into this stuff continually, and we watch it every day, and people stream stuff. I did it. And I'm not rebuking or condemning people. I did it, and I found out how much it drained the life, and it took the fear of the Lord away, because I thought, I'm okay, I'm saved, I'm under grace. But you know, when I wasn't really praying like I should have been, and really seeing when I went through the season of allowing all that junk. And so now the Holy Spirit helps me to know, listen, what's coming is going to come on everybody who's not ready for it. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we're about to suffer huge. We're about to suffer big time. And so I don't want to suffer anymore. I don't like that. Amen. The Bible says, he who has suffered is done with sin. Praise the Lord. I don't want it. I don't want to put my hand in the fire. I want to walk in the Spirit. Not only that, forget sin for a second, but when I walk with God every single day, it's supernatural. Every day. Every time I run into somebody and have a conversation, the real gospel starts coming out. And sometimes it's almost every week, two or three times a week, I end up talking to somebody. I'm going to get a job or something. I end up talking to it for 2, 3 hours, and it feels like 30 minutes. And you look at, oh my God, oh my goodness, we talked for 4 hours. One day I was at somebody's house. I thought we talked for 45 minutes. I got there at 6. And then we was like, praise the Lord, that was powerful. And then we looked at our watch, it was 10. We had talked for 4 hours. This is normal. And we had talked about the things of the Lord and the things of the Spirit and the real gospel. Man, it's wonderful to walk like this. There's peace beyond description. No trembling inside, no anxiety, no depression, no worrying. But I do have there's still a healthy fear constantly every day, a healthy fear of the coming judgment because I see it coming. I see the Antichrist coming. I see the preparation for it. And I know God's about to deal with his people. Oh my goodness. So I pray, that the Lord will help you with this balance of this thing here. For time's sake, I wanted to get into another verse, but I will some other time. But I'll mention it, but I won't expound on it. It says, beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. My goodness, with phobos and trembling, because it's God who's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I love that. He's the one that does the work when we turn away from the flesh. Amen. If you don't put to death the misdeeds of the body by the Spirit, you will die. My goodness. That ought to put some trembling in us. I don't want to die. I want to live. I've done enough dying. Amen. I want to live. I want to walk in the life of Jesus. I want to heal the sick in Jesus' name, even raise the dead. I believe that's coming, and I believe it'll be easy. I believe I've cast many devils out, and some of you have participated in that as well. And I want to walk in that. Why? Because not because it's exciting. I don't want a picture of it. I don't want to tell anybody about it. I don't want to put it on TV. No, I want to see people delivered, man. There's nothing better than seeing somebody who is in bondage set free. Oh my goodness, if I had time, I'd give you some testimonies. But it's wonderful. But I encourage you today, beloved, to walk in the fear of the Lord. Forget about what some preacher told you that that's respect. That ain't respect. You need to fear the coming wrath. Jesus told his disciples constantly, constantly, he warned them, and he constantly warned people. In the last days, people will think his coming is not soon or what, and they'll say they'll eat, drink, and be merry. They'll be doing all kinds of things in the flesh, gathering up stuff for themselves. When he's about to come, they'll say, hey man, I just got some oxen, I need to break in, and they're not ready. They're not ready. There's a great awakening coming, and it has to do, some of it has to do, John Bevere, I just remembered his name, sorry, the fear of the Lord. Some of it has to do with the fear of the Lord. That's the guy that wrote the book, The Fear of the Lord, John Bevere. That's a good book if you want to read it. But he wrote a book on the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord, friend, is seeing what's coming. The prophets had it. The prophets instilled it. The prophets preached it so the people would wake up. There's a great awakening coming, friend. The Bible said all of them are asleep. But they all wake up. Praise God, they all wake up. But uh-oh, only five of them have oil and five didn't. This means like half are left behind. I don't believe they go to hell. That's your business if you believe that. I don't want to argue about it. But I don't believe they go to hell. I believe they have to go through more pain, more tribulation. They have to go through more fire because they're not ready. Not everybody's going to that supper, and not everybody's going to live in the New Jerusalem. Not everybody's going to be the bride of Christ who adorns the New Jerusalem. I don't want to get, I know, might irritate somebody, but doctrinally, that's just not true. The nations that are saved live outside the gates, but those who overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they don't even love their lives, even when it cost them their life, even when they're killed, they don't love their own life at all. And this is what enables them to overcome Satan and walk in the power of Jesus Christ's life and inherit the kingdom, praise God, to rule the nations with him forever. I won't get into that, bless God. But that's a powerful, powerful thing when you begin to understand it. And friend, we are all going to go through the fire, especially if we're walking in the flesh. If we're walking in the flesh, we're going to face a lot more fire. But by the grace of God, may the fear of the Lord, bring you to look to the Holy Spirit to show you the truth so that you can walk in freedom and peace and righteousness and anointing. God, I don't want to get into details of it right now, but God's not requiring for you to produce righteousness. He's requiring you for you to believe in the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ. Believe and confess what he accomplished. Turn away from you. Hate your own life. Turn away from you. If you don't, you're going to go through fire. And it ain't going to be fun. And you need to understand what's coming. The judgment of God is coming on all unrighteousness, and it begins with the house of God. So, beloved, let us walk in the fear of the Lord. And the comfort, the precious, wonderful comfort of the Holy Ghost. And if you're following leaders that only want to talk about the comfort of the Holy Ghost, or leaders that only want to talk about the fear of the Lord, or leaders that don't talk about either one, then try to find some different leaders in Jesus' name, amen. I mean, be patient with your pastors, be patient with ministers. If you have a pastor that doesn't talk about either one, run. Just get out of there, man. Go somewhere where they actually preach the Bible, or even if they're just Baptists and talking about the fear, 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 say, you know, sin, 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 judgment, judgment, judgment. At least they're preaching a half of it. And then you got the other side, the charismatics is no fear, no fear, no fear, comfort, comfort, comfort. Oh, God, help us all to get some balance in Jesus' name. The wrath is coming, but we have been delivered and we are seated with him. Amen. So let's put off the old man and put on the new man and walk in his righteousness. He'll do the work. It's him that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You don't have to produce it. You've got to believe, but you do have to turn to him, and you have to hate your own life. But that's not producing righteousness. That's availing yourself for the righteousness of God to flow through you and for the righteousness of God to live through you. It's amazing when you fear the Lord, when you turn away from yourself, when you hate your own life, and you really look to him and meditate in his word and in his presence. Oh, my goodness. I mean, man, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You don't lust, you know, and when you do, you just resist it for a second and it goes away. You say, no, that's not for me in Jesus' name. By his grace, I am delivered, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have dominion, praise God. And many of us are confessing these things, but we never see the power of it because we're missing some ingredients, or we've been lied to, and the teachers have tweaked the word to rob us of its power. Oh, Jesus, help us. I'm so sick of that. People robbing the word of its power by trying to make it acceptable to our flesh. God have mercy, and may God judge that in Jesus' name and get that out of his body. Hallelujah. There's coming a great shaking, friend, and the angels are coming to remove everything from the body that causes stumbling. Everything. And then the sons of God will shine as bright as the sun. Praise God. And we'll cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead like we're supposed to be doing in Jesus' name. And then the end will come. Forget about the earthquake. That's a birth pain. That's the earth groaning for the sons to rise. What really marks the end is when the sons of God rise up, the tares are taken out, and the sun shine. Amen. And walk in the true power of the Holy Ghost. God bless you today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.